Today's share in the Deir Shu Mishneh Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Nun Zayin Omid Beis. We're in the third volume of Mishneh Berurah, and we began Simin Shin Chof Hei yesterday. We're now at the second line, Sif Beis. The Mechaber writes, Hecha Di'ika Mishum Darkei Shalom. Whenever there is a concern over here that there might not be peace between the Jews and the Gentiles, oh, Be'eino Yehudi Alam, or if you're dealing with a powerful, strong, non-Jewish person, and therefore the halacha would allow you, mutu lo se slo, you would be allowed to go and give him an item on Shabbos from your yard, o lishlocho ayide eino Yehudi, or even to go and send it with a non-Jewish person to him. The Mishneh Berurah in Sivkot and Tess tells us over here, for example, this would be allowed, kigon eino Yehudi shechol, if the non-Jewish person wasn't feeling well, v'sholach achar ma'ach Yisrael, and he's asking you to send him food, because he isn't feeling well, can't make the food himself, and he needs you to give him some food. The Chofetz Chaim in Shar HaTzion Os Yud brings down that this is from the Mordechai in the name of the Arzeruah, and it's also brought in the Beis Yosef, and he adds, the belochol, if the non-Jewish person wasn't sick, after mefarnesin mishum derkech shalom, even though you're allowed to give him food, but he'd have to come to your house and get it. Halo yochol lovol beis Yisrael. In that situation, he could come to your house, and the Yisrael could tell him, Eino rashoi litei mi beiso b'Shabbos. I can't give you from my house on Shabbos. You can only eat here in my house. However, when the non-Jewish person is sick, he knows the hayodim de b'shvil choli Yisrael mechalal Shabbos l'fomim. You can't tell him I'm not allowed to be mechalal Shabbos because they say, well, for a Jewish person you're mechalal Shabbos, so why can't you be mechalal Shabbos for me? I'm also not feeling well. So that's why it's bedavka a chola. Or, Sivkot and Yud, it's Be'en Yudi Alam, a powerful non-Jewish person, or Mevakesh Chafotzev, he wants his stuff that you have in your house, that he wants it back. We're not talking here at all that it's a real danger, as the Chofetz Chaim brings down in Sivkot and Yud Aleph, in the Shaar HaTzion. If there was any danger, then certainly, Pshita, the Shari Apishus HaRabim Gomer, then you'd be allowed to even give it to him, because it's Bikuach Nefashos, even though it was a real Shus HaRabim, and not that you're just giving it to him from your house where his stuff is. The Ramon now adds, V'hu adin l'tzorach mitzvah. Likewise, you'd be allowed to go and give it to the non-Jewish person if there was a mitzvah involved over here. For example, kagon, lo tzi chomitz mi beiso b'pesach. If you have Pesach that comes out on Sunday, so Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, and that's when all the chomitz needs to be gotten rid of, and you find that you still have some chomitz in your house, you'd be allowed to give it to a non-Jewish person, even though he's going to take it from your house, because that's l'tzorach mitzvah. The Mishneh Berurah explains in Sivkot Yud Aleph, even though normally you would not be allowed to take it from your house and give it to a non-Jewish person, because it will be taken out from your house on Shabbos, and everybody will think that you're giving it to him for your benefit. So even though it's not for your benefit, it's for his benefit, and certainly if it is for your benefit, in this situation, Erev Pesach Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, he tiru b'chol elu mishum d'lididon lahar be'poskim ein lanu rishus harayim d'raisa. Because according to many poskim, nowadays there really is no real rishus harayim d'raisa. And therefore, at worst, it's only a issa d'rabbanan. And therefore, by giving it to a non-Jewish person, it's a shvus d'shvus. Ve'inu el shvus d'shvus, v'itiru mokim mitzvah. And this is permissible to do the amir li'akam for a potential being over in issa d'rabbanan only, that the Akum would be doing on your behalf, so the Malka Mitzvah, this was allowed, or likewise, Omit Beidaki Shalom, or to keep the peace, or Chihai Gavna, for reasons like this. The Chofetz Chaim in Shaar HaTzion Os Yud Gimel brings down that even though there are poskim that say that there are real Rishus HaRabim nowadays, so Le'inyan Shvus Ayidei Eino Yehudi Samchinam Bezei El Makilim. You can rely here upon the Makil opinion, and especially Shelo Yimsur El Yodo El Yikochen Obiatzo. He's going to take it himself, and you're not going to give it to him directly, so therefore you have another leniency here as well. And that's exactly what the Mishneh Berurah continues. He writes, even in this situation, we call Makom, Tzorach Lizar B'chol Elu. In all of these situations where we make all over here, Shelo Limsor Liyad Eino Yehudi. Don't directly give it into the hands of the non-Jewish person. Let him take it himself. The Yaseh Yisrael Akira. Because in that way, if you give it to him, then you're doing the Akira, which is the start of the Isra of bringing it from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim, or carrying it through the Rishus HaRabim. Do'ef Shelo Vakesh Leino Yehudi Shikachenu Biatzmo. And instead of doing that, let the non-Jewish person take it himself. And this way he does the Akira and the Hanocha. And therefore there is no Isra at all. Furthermore, Vafilu imha eino Yehudi, even if the non-Jewish person is Mavakesh, he wants Shitnu Tzol Kalef to put into his basket, to put into his bag. Ishli Zar, it would be preferable in that situation. Shami Denu Babayis, you put it into the bag and have the bag be on the ground in your house. The Achash Yishboch Yisrael Usochu, and after the item is put into his bag, then let the non-Jewish person pick up the bag and take it. Yikochenu. And in this way, again, you're not doing the Akira. Mishnah Berurah explains the Sifkot Yud Beis, the situation with the Chametz. He says, for example, go in Erev Pesach Shechol B'Shabbos, as I pointed out. That's where I got it from the Mishnah Berurah over here. We're talking about with Pesach was on Sunday. So Erev Pesach Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to have Chametz pass this man in the morning. So therefore, you have to give it to the non-Jewish person to take it out of your house. This brought down even the Mordechai. And the issue footnote number 10 tells us, Abo Chametz Shel Yisrael B'Pesach, if you have in your possession on Pesach, not on Erev Pesach, but you have in your possession chametz on Pesach, lo dai b'zeh shanachum yotzim l'beis yisrael. It's not adequate that the non-Jewish person should just take it from your house, as we'll learn in Siman Tov Mem Gimel. In that situation, you still over ba yirah ba yimotze, but it must be burnt, it must be destroyed. And therefore, if you find some chametz on Pesach itself, on Yontif, you're not allowed to burn it on Yontif, and therefore, yochol latzito lenochri kidesh yizukeno liyam ol beis akise. Well, you would be allowed to go give it to a non-Jewish person to destroy it. The minhag is not to do that. The minhag is to go and put a kli on top of it on Yontif, and then either burn it on chol hamoed or after Pesach is over, depending on when you found it, if you found it on the first days of Yontif or you found it on the last days of Yontif. That's the minhag ha'olam. Sif Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Mutu lahachlif mashkon b'shabas imhu malbush. You are allowed to go and exchange with a non-Jewish person. He has some sort of a collateral in your house. He has a security in your house, and it's a jacket, and he'd like to wear that jacket, so he'll put another jacket there instead. That you're allowed to do. V'yotzienu derech malbush. He wears it out of your house. He doesn't carry it out of your house. Kein ze masu matan. This way it doesn't look like you're doing business with him on Shabbos, and therefore there is no problem. Likewise, v'gam Yisrael mutu b'inyan zeh. In my Yisrael Tzorach L'Lov Show, if this is a security from a Jewish person could wear in a jacket, then place the jacket that he wore inside your house, and then take the other jacket that he had. That's not a problem also. That doesn't look like it's Mekach U'Memkar. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Yud Gimel explains, D'i Lav Hochi, also, if it wasn't for the fact that he's wearing it, it would be forbidden. This would be no different than any other item that you had in your house as a security. And when people see the non-Jewish person taking it out from there, they're saying that the Jewish person commanded, asked the non-Jewish person to take it out on his behalf. The Chanal, as we've already explained, in Sifkot and Ches in yesterday's shir. Miu, however, if he's a powerful person, he doesn't want to wear it out. He says, I'm taking it out. That's also allowed, as we've explained, that there are certain heterim when you're dealing with powerful people that would allow you to do something that would otherwise not be allowed. The Ramona comments and he says, it is preferable in this situation that the non-Jewish person, where he's wearing it out, or if he's an alam, a strong person, he's carrying it out, he should take the mashkon himself. And if he puts another one in its place, he should put it down in its place. So if he switches this jacket for that jacket, the non-Jewish person should take the jacket that was originally there and replace it with a new jacket himself, without the Jewish person touching it. The Jewish person should not have any direct contact with it if possible. He brings down the name of the Aguda, that it shouldn't look like it's a business transaction over here. If you're somehow touching it and involved with it over here by taking it, so it looks like you're making a trade and doing business. And he tells us as well, and this has already been discussed, the latter part, the Rama tells us in Siman Shin Zayin at the very end, where it talks about certain situations where if a non-Jewish person does bring you something on Shabbos, you are allowed to go and take it. Ayin Shom. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Yudalit explains over here that when you're exchanging one jacket for the other, this was brought down in the name of the Aguda, and he writes, Kosel be Aguda, Hu adin im ho'eino Yehudi miniach hamos v'dol tel hamashkon. Let's say there was a security kept in your house because the non-Jewish person owed you money. So that security was as a reminder, as a collateral for the money that he owed you. Now the non-Jewish person comes on Shabbos, drops off the $100, and takes back his jacket. Namishari, that's also permissible. But the Jewish person is not allowed to have any calculations done with a mechesh bonus over here, and he's not allowed to touch it. This brought down the name of the Magen Avraham and the Tosefta Shabbos. This is a lenient opinion. But the Mishnah Berurah now brings down a more stringent opinion. Ube'el Yorabba, he brings down Mashma Duhu Sover Kishaminiach Mos. He says if the guy is exchanging a jacket for a jacket, that's different than if the guy is taking back his jacket and now is paying you the money that he owes you. That's why you have the jacket as a security. And according to this, Ulu Didei and Lahaka was there. Elia Rabba says you cannot be makel in this situation, ki im kisha'enu yudi alom, unless you're dealing with a powerful non-Jewish person over here and you're scared to start up with him, so then you'd be allowed to let him put the money over there. In any event, umikol makom, nira, it appears, de im yucha lahagi alom yizeh hefsid, if it's going to cause you a financial loss, for example, if you don't allow him to put the money there, he's just going to take his jacket and he won't replace it with an equal value. If you go in she'en mashkun shaveh hakesev chadome, so you're afraid that you're not going to get the money that you owed, yesh lismo chalamogen avram tosev shabbos. Then the Mishnah concludes and says you can rely upon the more lenient opinion that we brought down first in this sif, based upon the Mogen Avram tosev shabbos, saying that you're allowed to do this and you don't have to be machmir like the Elia Rabba. Siv Katan Tetzvah, the Mishnah said, however, when you do allow this exchange of either the jacket for a jacket, let's say, or the jacket for money, below Yiga, you shouldn't touch it. Bishum Echod Mehamashkonos. That means don't touch either the old mashkon that's being taken out and don't give that to the non-Jewish person, as well as don't touch the new jacket that the non-Jewish person has brought in as the new security. Lo b'hayoshon, v'lo b'chodosh, neither one. Disha footnote number 11 brings down, it's a malbush, so it's not muktzah. He says, also legazbo mishum shenira kemasa v'matan. It looks too much, as the Ramo explained over here, like you're doing business with him. Mishnah Berurah continues and he writes, mihu, however, b'yisrael ki haigabne yesh lahako shigabo. If it's exchanging a jacket for a jacket with a Jewish person, then you are allowed to take the jacket and touch it. The b'yisrael lo mechse kemasa v'matan el kemashilo. Because here it doesn't look, he's obviously not dropping off money. So if he takes the jacket that was the original security and puts a new jacket there instead, it just looks like you're borrowing a jacket. And therefore, that's allowed. If the non-Jewish person is taking back his security and the Jewish person doesn't trust him that he's going to give him the money after Shabbos, so the Jewish person doesn't want to let him take the security, so another Jewish person can come and say, I'll be the security, here's the security for the non-Jewish person. Because that's too much like business dealings, which we've described already previously, and now that I do anything that's mimso chefzucha, you can't do anything that's like a business dealing to take care of your needs on business on Shabbos. Siv Dalit. The Mechaber tells us a very interesting halacha here. Pas she'ofa einu Yehudi la'atzmo b'Shabbos. A non-Jewish person baked bread for himself, for the non-Jewish person, on Shabbos. So obviously we're dealing here with kosher bread, because we're going to talk about whether the Jewish person can eat it or not, use it or not. So he has absolutely kosher bread. The kashrus of the bread is not the question. The question is, the non-Jewish person, perfectly permissible for him, baked it on Shabbos. So how do we paskin if you want to now eat this absolutely kosher bread that was baked by a non-Jewish person on Shabbos? So the Mechaber brings down two opinions. Yesh osrim, there is a stricter opinion that says you're not allowed to use this bread. And then there's a more lenient opinion, v'yesh matirim. There's a more lenient opinion that says you can use this bread. The Chafetz Chaim explains in the Bir Halacha Dira Masa Le'atzmo, we're not really talking la'atzmo, lav davka. He didn't bake the bread totally for himself. He was baking it, obviously, as a palter, as a baker for public consumption. Therefore, there's no concern about the privately baked bread of a non-Jewish person that the rabbis made a gzeir about that you're not allowed to have it because of potential assimilation concerns. The im hayinu yodin shuli atzmo, because if we know for certain that the Gentile actually baked the bread for his own personal usage, then on a Tuesday would also be also. Afilu b'chol also liyisrael lechu mimenu. The havelei pashal balabayis also l'kuliyama. That, as we said, was a gzeir of mishum chasnus. You may come to have assimilation, as is brought down in Yoredei as simin kufyud beis. Unless it's shaset chak, shein motzei pas acher klal, unless there's absolutely no other bread available. So therefore, here we're talking about Mayri Bapasha Osalimkar, the ir Shiruba Eno Yehudim, that died to the Rubakovit. He's a baker, but he has to break kosher bread, even though the majority of the customers are non-Jewish people. And it says, La'atzmo shalo offer bishul Yisrael. It meant over here that he didn't specifically bake it for the Jewish person, which wouldn't make other problems over here. A non-Jewish person is not allowed to specifically bake for you. So here he's baking kosher bread for mostly non-Jewish customers. And now you need this bread. So there's the lenient opinion that says you're allowed to go and use this bread. The more machmir opinion says you cannot. And the Chofetz Chaim in the next Bir Halacha, Dibur Masel B'Shabbos, points out that if there's any suffix that it was maybe baked in part before Shabbos, then it would be mutter here as well. We're talking here was specifically baked on Shabbos where you have this machlokus. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Tezayin explains the more machmir opinion, Shemo Haisa Bein Hashmashos Kemach O Isa, because maybe during the Bein Hashmashos period of time, Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, it was still flour or as a dough, Sheno Roy Lochos, it wasn't able to be even chewed upon. V'yiskatzoy le Bein Hashmashos. Then we have a famous rule that something that is muktzah, v'migoy, v'yiskatzoy le Bein Hashmashos, iskatzoy kol hayom kula. So then it would be forbidden all Shabbos long. V'afilu im no merdahi was chitim deroy lochos. If you want to say, well, maybe it was grain over there, and that's able to be eaten raw, Mikomokum ain ruuyim lecho beoso inyan shenasu lebesof. It can't be still eaten as bread. It may be able to be eaten as grain, but it won't be able to be eaten as bread. Liach shenasu bo isura daraisa shenasu lechem, because he had to do baking, which would for a Jewish person be an isa daraisa, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah says the isra over here, the heavy lo kenolat, it would be over here an isra of nolat. Now the Dirshu footnote number 12 brings down that the Chazon Ish disagrees with this reason. It says it's not a problem of Nolat for various reasons. And it says the reason why the Ostrim, the Yesh Ostrim over here, would say it's no good is V'chol Dover She'eno Roy La'achila V'hu B'yad Nochri Eino Nechshav Kimuchon Yisrael. It's not considered that it's prepared for a Jewish person. And it has the equivalent status of the famous Grogros Utsmukin, the dried figs and the dried raisins. They're an in-between limbo status. They're not figs and grapes, and they're not yet dried figs and raisins, and therefore they're put totally out of your mind. Einem ruyin liachila b'vein hashmashos, v'adam dolche osam b'yadayim liachila, and you've actively, so to say, pushed it away, and that's why the Chazon Ish says over here, the Yesh Ostrim say it's no good. In any event, the Mishnah Berurah himself gives a second reason, the Yesh Ostrim mitam acher. He gives another reason why it should be osur over here, shema yom alein yehudi levashel, because you may come to tell the non-Jewish person to go cook it for you. V'yap, agad eino yehudi shehidlik nearly atzmo lo gazrina. And even though if a non-Jewish person were to light a light and he's getting benefit from, you're also allowed to get benefit from the light, k'moshe kosov simin reishayin vav, like we've already learned, b'midid the achila. However, in regards to food, the lohut b'yoser gazrina trei. The people much more interested in the food over here. So therefore, the rabbis made an additional gzera and didn't allow you to get benefit, even though the non-Jewish person baked it for himself. Because of it, again, Rav Simon Tov Kuf Yud Zayin, that this is actually the reason that the Mechaber prefers. Sif Yud Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah now brings down the rationale behind the more lenient opinion that says you can use this bread. We don't make any distinction between something that the non-Jewish person did for himself that wasn't for achila, like the light, and something that he does for himself for eating purposes, like the bread. He did it for his own benefit. He did not bake the bread for a Jewish person. He baked it as a palter, as a baker for other non-Jewish people. Therefore, it is permissible according to the Mekel opinion. Why is it not a problem of muktza? He says, since a non-Jewish person could have finished off before Shabbos, there is no problem over here of muktza and nolad. And the issue footnote number 40 brings down from the Gemara in Beitzah, if a pot was cooking hot on Erev Shabbos, Ben HaShmashos, but it wasn't yet edible. So even though it's not edible during the Ben HaShmashos time, you're allowed to eat it afterwards because it will become edible no matter what. And therefore, ain't other makts as daito mimenu. A person doesn't take his mind off it, so to say. He doesn't make it muktzah, and therefore the same thing applies over here. Mishnah Berurah continues and he writes, Kotsa Beis Yosef b'shem Arzurua. The Beis Yosef writes in the name of the Arzurua, Shaladivrei Hakol. Everybody agrees. In Bishalo Ofa Eved Yisrael b'Shabbos. Afilu Tzorach Atzmo. If a Jewish person, unfortunately, went and cooked or baked something on Shabbos for himself, Afilu b'Shabbos Rishonu, b'Pam Rishonu, even though it's the first week he's on the job, so to say, and he doesn't know whether his master, the guy who he's working for, is going to eat it or not. So you can't say that he's doing it for the master, he's doing it for himself. Sheino Eved Yodeim Adonai Yochal Mizeh Imlav, he doesn't yet know if the master would eat this or not. Afilu Hachi, nevertheless, Osir, you're not allowed to get benefit from this. Mivneshu Makiro Umargilo L'Shabbos Acheres, because this will inaugurate him, so to say, initiate him to do this in a future week. And he says, Ayin Shom, Shehivi Lezer Raya Mitosefta, it brings down over there a Raya from the Tosefta, and as well, look, Lekaman in Sif Yud Aleph, Mashenichto Vizeh, what we're going to talk about this in a few days. Then the Mechaber qualifies a little bit this machlokas as to whether you can use this bread or not between the two opposite opinions, Yesh Osur v'Yesh Matirim. He says, however, u'bishas hadchak, under extenuating circumstances, or o l'tzorach mitzvah, if you need to do it for a mitzvah, what could be the mitzvah that you have to have the bread over here? For example, you could go and sudas bris milah, you have a bris milah, sudas mitzvah, o l'tzorach birchas hamotzi, or you need the bread for hamotzi on Shabbos, yesh lismoch al hamatirim. Then you can rely upon the more lenient opinion over here. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Yudches explains Shas Adchak, extenuating circumstances. Kigon Shadara Bekvar Yechidi. You're the only Jewish person living over there. Shev Sholishol Pas Bechaver. There's nobody else that you can get bread from. And that's a Shas Adchak, that's extenuating circumstances. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Yudches says you can rely upon the more lenient opinion. However, Mikol Mokum Yizor Shalo Likro Osola Beso Lefrolo Domov. You have to be careful not to call him to your house to go and get money from you. Davi Mecha Chomemcha. That would be a real Mecha Chomemcha situation. And he says as well, we've talked about this Ein Le'el Simin Shinchov Gimel Siv Dalit, where the Beis Yosef brings this din down in the name of the Ravine Yerucham. There we learn that you can possibly transact something, get something from a person on Shabbos or Yontif, as long as you don't do it in a way that's not allowed, for example, mentioning specific prices or measuring out certain measures, Ayin Sham, for those details. Finally, the Ramah concludes and he says, Hago, Aval also litin lo mos me'erev Shabbos, v'shitin lo apas b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to pay him before Shabbos, then he should come on Shabbos b'davka and give you the bread. Because he brings down the name of the Rebbeinu Yerucham, the Oza Daiti Yisok of it, then he's obviously doing it for your benefit. Mishnah Berurah Sukkot and Chav explains that there's also l'diri hakol. Everybody read that that's also about filas or chmitzah, even in the setting of a mitzvah. There's one more important footnote over here, Dirshu footnote number 16, which we'll do tomorrow. For now, that will end today's shir.